Open our Bibles up again this morning, if you will, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 this morning. Again, I want to bring a simple message to you today. We're going to get into the verses once more, and then once we get into these verses, guys, really and truly no points. We're just going to break down, if we will, a few verses today. I believe this is a topic that we do need to hear. I think we need some encouragement in our life today, and I do think in a great way we will find it throughout the Holy Scriptures this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you were there in your Bibles today, look with me, if you will, in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse 6, the Bible says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bared about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Father in heaven, we ask you this morning again to meet with us. We pray today that if you will, such in a great way, touch, tender our hearts and our lives. Speak to us through your precious word. Tender our hearts by the movement of the Holy Spirit of God. Help us evaluate our own personal lives in light of the Holy Scriptures. Let us apply your perfect knowledge, Lord, today in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we ask these things. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the topic of confidence. Confidence. Guys, there's an old saying, which is, I guess, attributed to Benjamin Franklin, that says that the only two certainties in life would be death and taxes. And of all the people, guys, all the people in this world today who have lived and all of the people who are going to live, 100% of them are going to die, amen? Except, obviously, we have to say this because we are dispensationalists, those who will be raptured out, amen? The only people that will get out of this life without death are those who are alive and here, born again of the blood of Christ when he appears into sky. But in case you struggle with math today, we are born into this world to end in death, okay? We're born to die, if you will. But between the date of our departure and our arrival on the other side, we have a life that is filled with blessings and burdens. A life that is filled with cursing and even confidence. A life that is filled with joy and jesting. But the confidence that we have in this life, especially as we looked at the verses we've just read, is that we find that God commanded his light, the light, to shine out of darkness, and it shined in and on our hearts, giving us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal salvation. This, my friend, is a joy. Matter of fact, this is unspeakable joy. If you stop and you think about how we live in this world today, where we live in this world today, what's going on in the world today, and yet the light that shined out of darkness, it shined into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, and it granted us eternal life, that should give you joy, unspeakable joy, even on the rainiest and coldest of days of the year. Beloved, if you were to ask the average person, though, on the street, where they obtain their confidence in this life, you probably would hear remarks like, "the way I look" or "the way I dress." Matter of fact, we've all often heard, especially in the business world, that you dress for, what's that next word? Success. You've also heard fake it until you make it, amen? I don't know if either one of those apply. I do know how we dress will affect our mind and our outcome and our outlook. I get that. I understand that. There are some people that are more confident in the way they dress or when they dress a certain way. I remember a businessman years ago who began to work from home, and he was on a business call with someone one time, and he was just absolutely failing. What had happened, his wife was in the kitchen, and she overheard him in there trying to make this sale, and he was bumbling and stumbling, and I mean, you know, you just name it. He was making every mistake there was, and this guy was a seasoned salesman. This guy could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves, okay? But he was just failing in every which way there was, and so he got off the phone a little bit disheveled, and his wife went in there, and she said, "Honey, what's wrong with you?" He goes, "I don't know." And she looked at him, And he was in his joggers. He was in his, you know, his home comfortable clothes, like we mostly do when we go home. We get into our comfies and we enjoy ourselves, and rightly so. And she said, "Honey, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with what you wear, and you're too comfortable there. You know, you're in your comfies." And he's like, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about, woman." And the rest of the morning, he went through the same sales calls and had the same failures. Well, finally, like any good husband, he woke up and listened to his wife, went upstairs, put his three-piece suit on, came back downstairs into his study, and began to make those same calls again. And her being in the kitchen would hear him speaking with confidence, speaking with exuberance, with happiness. I mean, and he made all the rest of his sales calls. She went in there and found him in his little three-piece suit, and he said, "Hey, you know what? It made a difference." Now, guys, people will receive what they think is confidence and how they look or how they dress. Some people, if you were to ask them on the street, "Where do you get your confidence?" they'll say career or maybe finances, what's in the bank account or what kind of type of job they have or a title, if you will. Some people will even go as far to say that they obtain their confidence by their family or their heritage, their surname, if you will, or even where they live, you know. Some people will say, "Well, I live in such and such city," or "I live in such and such town, and I'm not like those that live in the other," you know, that's, they receive confidence in that. But if I was to ask you that question, in light of all those responses I just gave you, what do you think this morning is the greatest problem with having your confidence based upon either how you dress, how you look, your family, your heritage, where you live, your finances in the bank, or your career, or your title? What is the number one problem with that receiving your confidence from one of those things? They are all temporal. They will all change. If your identity rests in what you are, as far as a title goes, one day it's going to change. If your identity rests in the kind of finances you have, one day it's going to change. Even your family, your heritage, and where you live will potentially change one day. And even if it doesn't change, the surrounding area is going to change. Abraham is not what it once was 50 years ago. It wasn't the same 100 years ago. Places change. And so no matter where you are, who you are today, what we have in this life this morning are temporal things. And your confidence, my friend, if it's rested in temporal things, will one day come to an end. According to a 2017 survey, 9 out of 10 girls in the United Kingdom will not spend time with their family and friends, participate in activities outside the house, or try out for a team or a club if they are not happy with the way they look. Did you know in our nation alone, only 13% of the people report living with high levels of good mental health? 13%. Nearly 3 in 4 people living in the lowest household income bracket report having experienced a mental health problem, compared to 6 out of 10 of those living in the highest income bracket. As a matter of fact, guys, recent studies have revealed that this generation, that Generation Z population, have the least amount of confidence than any other generation before them. Now, this is the generation who grew up being told they could be anything that they choose to be, and yet they have the greatest pessimistic view on life. And you'd have to stop and say, why? I'll tell you one of the problems, and I won't park there. They grew up being told they could be anything they wanted to be, yet they were not showed how to be anything they wanted to be. They said, "You can do anything you want to do," and the reality is you can't do anything you want to do because life just doesn't allow that. Hey, you know what? You know, I want to jump and fly to the moon. That's not going to happen, amen. You know, some things are reality. Confidence levels among generations have steadily declined as the years have progressed, despite what some have written. Anxiety and depression are at an all-time high. Suicide rates have skyrocketed, and optimistic thinking toward the future is all but missing in the world that we live in today. In all of the research that we have found, and all the research that has been performed, there has been more money sunk into studying why people do or do not have self-esteem and or confidence than you can imagine today. If you knew how much of your tax dollars was spent on studying why people do not have self-esteem or confidence in our world today, it would absolutely blow your mind. None of the findings, however, none of the recommendations deal with the root of the issue. As a matter of fact, these experts suggest the following. Positive thinking, practice, training, knowledge, and talking to other people are useful ways to help improve or boost your confidence levels. Confidence comes from feelings of well-being, acceptance of your body and mind, i.e. your self-esteem, and belief in your own abilities, skills, and experience. After all the billions of pounds that have been spent to try to determine why someone has low self-esteem or why someone has the lack of confidence, the finding is you just need to trust in yourself. Now, guys, I'm not saying that's not a good thing. I'm not saying these aren't good things. I believe you ought to try to think positive. But, guys, confidence must not reside in what you or I can or cannot do. Our own personal abilities should not be the by-all and end-all of where our confidence rests. If it is, we're in for a load of problems in the future because your abilities are going to change. I'm nearly 50 years old. Guess what? Here's a shocker for you. I can't do what I used to be able to do at 25. Amen? They're going to change. And if your confidence is rested in that which you are capable of doing, you're going to be in for a sad, sad future. Why have, though, or better yet, how have we as a society drifted so far away from commitment and confidence? You know, they go hand in hand one with another. Do you know why the latest and greatest fad diets are so popular today? Because no one sticks with just one. Because something new comes out and they rush over there to that one. And then something else new comes out and they run over here to this one. And over and over, something new, something improved, all this and that happens and it draws the flock of sheep over and they give that a try for a little while and then they just quit. And guess what? They lose confidence. Why? Because they don't have commitment. You see, beloved, I believe it is simple. I believe the solution, I believe the problem, I believe both of them are very simple. The more that our education has come away from God and greater towards science, falsely so-called, I should say, as the Bible says, we have become a crumbling people, and rightly so. Again, do you not believe today that each one of us here sitting here this morning or we are all fallible? Mankind knows this. Mankind knows that we make mistakes. Mankind knows that they are fallible within, in and of themselves. And guys, if we become the by-all and end-all of our own confidence in this life, all hope is lost. It doesn't have to be that way. I was doing some of the research. We're going to touch on a few things here in just a moment. Very simple message this morning, but we are going to touch on some things. And I'll get into some numbers in just a little bit. But did you know that, as I mentioned a moment ago, that suicide rates and depression have skyrocketed to levels of just unimaginary levels, I should say, in our Western world? And there's a correlation between that, and to the best of my ability and the research that I have performed, I have found that the more atheistic and the more pluralistic a nation becomes, the greater their levels of depression, anxiety, disparity, and suicide climb. The further they come away from an eternal God, the greater their level of anxiety that they're dealing with. Their mental health issues are off the charts. And yet you look at nations today where Christianity is persecuted, and we'll talk about it here in just a little bit, you find little reports of mental health issues, little reports of anxieties, little reports of depression, and even less of a suicide rate. We seem to have everything that a person would want in the Western world and in the Western society, and we have a generation of people who can't even get out of bed because they're so depressed, because they're doing nothing in this life, because they've chosen to do nothing, but they've been taught that they came from nothing. When they die, they're going to nothing. Therefore, they surmise that they are nothing, and they see no point in life. And yet you got countries over there that are living in three walled shacks, or families of 8, 9, 10, and 11, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who may only have two or three pages of a Bible, and yet they find joy in their days. And yet they have confidence in their Maker. They have confidence in this life because it's not trust, it's not resting in that which they can do. It doesn't have to be this way, beloved. The issues of life do not have to rock your world or knock you off course. Unless you are solely trusted in yourself, and if this is the case, you've already lost the battle, never mind the war. If you are solely trusted in putting your faith in of yourself, you've lost the battle, forget the war, it's done and dusted. Notice with me in verse 7 in our text this morning, if you will. Verse 7 tells me, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God, or the power may be of God and not of us. Let's read that again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Beloved, this earthen vessel, this is us. This is our body. The Bible says, from the dust of the earth, God created man. Amen? This earthen vessels is what we are living in today. The house, the tabernacle, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, if you are saved and born again. What Paul is saying in verse 7, that we have this treasure. What is the treasure? It is the light that shined out of a darkness that has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is inside of us today. Where we are living right here, right now. It is not a heavenly forecast. Paul is talking to the current state of mankind. That you have this treasure. What treasure? The power of God, not in ourselves. Right here in this world this morning. It's a present assurance of the excellency of the power of God, my friend. Paul said that, he said that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation to all who believeth, amen. There's power, my friend, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is where our confidence begins, and this is where our confidence ends. In the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the excellency of the power of God and not of ourselves. Beloved, we are fallible people. We understand that. Even sometimes, and with our best intentions and our greatest abilities, we can and we will make mistakes. We are human beings. But God, His power is excellent. His power is perfect. His power is without fail. No failures, no failings. He has just pure, perfect power today. Now, I ask you this as we go into a few thoughts this morning. Where do you want to gain your confidence? If I was to ask you who has ever made a mistake in here, every hand in here would go up, maybe even a couple of feet. Amen? We've all made mistakes, typically on a daily basis. We've had wrong thoughts. We've miscalculated. We've let a bill slip. We've forgotten to register things. I mean, we've all done it. It's happened. Why? Because we're human beings, amen. We find it out the hard way, don't we? But not God. God's never late. God's always on time. Never early, by the way, amen. Because His power is excellent. I don't know about you, but I would much rather have my confidence in an excellent power of God than a failed, frail, fallible man as myself. Look in verse 8 with me this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here we are living in the world that we're living in today. Look at the very first part. We're coming right off the heels of verses 6 and 7 where Paul makes it very clear, makes it crystal clear that we have, look in verse 7, that we have this treasure. What treasure? The light of the Lord Jesus Christ has shined out of darkness. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, which is our body, which is the excellency of the power, maybe of God and not of ourselves. Then he says in verse 8, we are troubled on every side. Now stop there for just a second. He says that we are troubled on every side. Guys, problems seem sometimes to come in waves. There are days, guys, when it seems as if, man, everything's just going on cruise control. There's no problems. It's just, you know, sun, fun, and unicorns, and everything's just happy, amen. And there's other days when, buddy, problems just start pouring in. Mistakes are made. Things are forgotten. Issues happen. And it seems as if they just pour into our lives in an overwhelming content, bringing with it the pressures of everyday living. Paul says we're troubled on every side, he said. Everything on the horizontal is just trouble, he said. But he says, but we're not distressed. You know the word distress means? Distress means suffering from extreme anxiety, sorrow, or pain. He said, we're troubled. There's problems. There's things coming in our life. Not happy where we are. This one, this was trying to attack us. This was talking ill against us. This was throwing rocks at us. And every time we turn around, somebody's trying to get a hold of us. There's troubles on every side. He goes, but you know what? We're not distressed. Beloved, this light which shined out of darkness is a comfort in the most troublous times of our life. In the days where those problems are pouring in, we are not distressed. Why? Because we have a power within us that should give us the confidence of the next day to come. Because we have faith in the one who is greater than the issue, faith in the one that is greater than the trouble or the problem on this earth, faith in the one that even though problems are coming from every which way, it may not seem like comforting at the moment, but my friend, it is. Paul says we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. Paul's confidence was not in that which he saw around him. Paul's confidence was not in his friends. Paul's confidence was not in himself. And this guy was educated beyond. He was educated more than any other biblical time Christian. He had more education. He had more prestige. He was the man. And he says, you know what? All of that is for nothing. I count it all but loss, he said. I count it all but dung. Amen. I may win the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, he said. Paul's confidence wasn't in his education, nor his dress, nor his finances, nor his position, nor his power. His confidence was in the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He said, we're troubled on every side. Now, guys, we've all been down that road. And it comes in waves. We've had family problems, financial problems, we've had future problems, we've had foundational problems. We've all been there and we'll all be there again. But the confidence you have today is not the fact in what you can endure, but rather who is inside you to carry you forward. Secondly, we find there in verse 8, Paul says in the next part, he says, we are perplexed. We are perplexed. This word means completely baffled. How many people in here have just been perplexed at what they see? Now, I would have to go ahead and say probably within the last 18 months, we've been more perplexed than anything. We've sat back and we've watched the news or listened to the news, and we wonder how in the world some of these people get up and get dressed in the morning, and they're making decisions for nations in this world today. How in the world? And you're completely baffled at the existence or even the mindset of those who put those people into office. Baffled. There's plenty of things that we just simply don't understand. Situations, circumstances of life that we just cannot quite put our finger on it of why it's there. Paul says, we're perplexed, man. I don't understand it. I've been this way. I've told Denise, I mean, there's been times where there's just been breakdowns, and I told her, I said, you know what, I just want to do something good. I just want to see people's lives change. I mean, on the eternal and the temporal. I'm like, I just want to see something good happen. And we've hit every roadblock in the village throughout at times. And I'm like, my goodness, I can't understand it. But you know, my confidence is not in the program that we perform. My confidence cannot be in even the counting of the numbers. My confidence cannot be in the success through human eyes. Paul says we're perplexed, but you know what he says? He goes, we're not in despair. He says, but not in despair. Look at verse 8 again. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You know what despair means? Despair means utterly without hope. And there may be days in your life, my friend, where you just, man, you cannot figure it out. You don't know why, and you know what? It may look like it is hopeless. And you know what? For the most part, that situation that you're looking at right in front of you may be hopeless. It may not ever go, it may not change at all. But if you got the power of God inside of you, if you have the Holy Spirit of the Lord living inside of you as a child of God today, you're not without hope. in the darkest of days, in the most confusing of times, in the most perplexing situations of your life today, you're not in despair. We have a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. And although we may be perplexed at some of the situations that are happening to us today, and we may be without all understanding of all things, we are comforted knowing this. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Bottom line is this, guys, if there's something in this world that is perplexing us, if there's confusion in this world today, it's not coming from God. It's not coming from God. Verse 9 tells us, he said, persecuted. Guys, to be persecuted means to be ill-treated. Ill-treated because of who or what you are. That's what persecuted means. Let me stop there for just a second. If you say something angry to someone, if you speak to someone disrespectfully and they retaliate, you're not being persecuted, okay? You know, you may get the short end of the stick, but that's not persecution. You're not a victim, amen. In Paul's day, nearly every city, town, and village he walked through, he was persecuted. He was stoned, he was left for dead, he was incarcerated, and so much more that happened, all because he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we were to go through the room today and ask people, have you lost anything for Jesus Christ? I would assume that most of us probably would be able to say yes, at least one thing. I've lost friends, family members, positions. Yeah, I've lost those things. But I haven't lost my Lord. Do you know more than 340 million Christians, 1 in 8, face a high level of persecution and discrimination because of their faith, according to a 2021 survey or research done by the World Watch List? 340 million Christians around the world today are persecuted or discriminated because of their faith. That same study reveals that there's a 60% increase over the previous years in the number of Christians that have been killed for their faith in this past year alone. Of the 50 most Christian persecuting countries in the world, North Korea still sits up top at number one for the last 20 years. China's back on the list after a decade of being removed. And there's a drastic increase today in India, which I believe is number 8 or 9, or number 6, 6, 8 or 9, I can't remember, and Turkey as well. Across the sub-Saharan Africa, Christians face a 30% higher levels of violence than last year at the hands of Islamic groups and Islamic organizations who took advantage of lockdowns and governments weakened by the crisis, speaking of the COVID-19 pandemic. We're upset because you can't go to the restaurants or the pub. And people in Africa, Christians who name the name of Christ, are being slaughtered because the governments have been weakened and the forces of evil have moved in and taken advantage of it. In Nigeria, the number of Christians killed has nearly tripled to 3,800 recorded deaths this year alone. Yeah, we don't know anything about it. Oh, but we're depressed. Oh, but our anxieties are high. You know, because we don't get to watch our favorite TV show. Oh, well, you know, the drunkards are, you know, you can't go get drunk at the pub today, so, oh, we're just suffering so bad. Are you kidding me? This is real persecution. Something that we don't know one thing about here in our Western world. Amazes me the level of depression and anxiety and suicide rates in sub-Saharan Africa are all but kneel. But you know what? We're persecuted. You probably lost something. But you know what? We're not forsaken. The Bible tells me in Hebrews 13:5, it says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, these 3,800 recorded deaths for the name of Christ through sub-Saharan South Africa, or sub-Saharan Africa today, just in 2021 alone. Did you know what? Even though they lost their life for the name of Christ, Jesus Christ never forsake. You know where they are right now? With Jesus Christ in heaven. Hey, listen, they close their eyes in this world. They open them up to the face of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless them. But you know what? Our confidence cannot be in who and what we are, because you may get persecuted in this world today. There are laws that are being presented. There's bills that are being presented before Parliament today that is going to make this Bible that I hold in my hands and the one that you got sat in front of you today absolutely illegal. They're going to write it off as a hate book. Amen. Pastor Ellis taught us to write the Word of God upon the table of our heart. He said one day, he said this 50 and 40 and 30 years ago, one day they're going to take this Bible out of your hands. People stand up and say, bless God, they're not going to take it out of my hands. Yeah, they will. You may have said 2 years ago, they'll never stop me from going buy certain things in the store. Well, they did, didn't they? You're not a match for the government. You're not going to stop them. If they want to come take every Bible out of your house, they'll walk in and take every Bible out of their house unless you just want to die for it. I'm trying to say this to you today, guys. No matter what happens to us on the level of persecution, God, Jesus Christ, will not forsake us, amen, because the power, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ is inside this earthen vessel today, and my confidence and your confidence this morning must rest in him. Oh, Paul said we're cast down. Look in verse 9. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, he said. But he said not destroyed. Oh, this is good. Not destroyed. Beloved, the bottom line is this. We've already won, and that's how we need to begin living. I am so fed up with this victimhood society that everybody wants to play a role as a victim. They want to blame all their problems and all their issues and everything on mom and dad or on situations in this life or the government's not doing enough here or the churches haven't done enough here. My mom and daddy didn't love me. And I'm so tired of people playing the victim, amen. Because if you're a child of God, if you're born again today, you have the victory, and that's where your confidence should rest. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, he says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. All things, all what? Persecution, distress, being cast down, all of those things, guys. We are more than conquerors. Did you know the word overcome appears in the Bible 22 times within 20 verses? It is a word that's used to denote a victory, and to the overcomer is to defeat that which is weaker. My friend, the world has cast down the believers. They have thrown us down. They've mocked us out. They've removed the Bible from schools. They've removed this. They've removed that. But the reality is we still have the victory in our life today. The Lord said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you that ye might have peace in the world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You want confidence today? You want to be able to walk around the village and walk around life today with your head up high and your chest stuck out and have confidence in that no matter what happens today, God is on your side. Right there it is. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Praise the Lord for that. The world has cast down the Christians. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to Paul, and he wrote this. He says in Romans 12:21, he says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. With good. Man, there's some things that, guys, in our life today, we talk about righteousness, and we talk about great and wonderful things that you can do in the world. Mike, if you just do things that are good today, that's a start. Paul says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. How can you do that? Because Jesus Christ has already overcome the world. This life has a way to cast down those who refuse to follow in the unrighteousness of this of worldliness. But Peter, by inspiration of God, said in 2 Peter 2:19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Man, we can overcome this world because the greatest overcomer of all has already done so. Beloved, you may be cast down. You may be persecuted. You may be perplexed, and you may be troubled on every side. But praise God, we're not destroyed. We're not forsaken. We're not in despair. We're not in distress. John said this in 1 John 4:4. He says, ye are of God, little children. And have overcome him, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know what, my friend? That's where your confidence needs to rest today. He that has overcome the world, he that is within you. John says, he that is in you, in what? In this earthen vessel.
Paul said it was this in this earthen vessel, the excellency of the power of God is the excellency of the power of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have that treasure. He that overcame the world, he that overcame troubles, he that overcame perplexities, he that overcame overcame persecution, he that overcame all of those things is in this earthen vessel today. So where is my confidence going to rest? It's not in what I can do or what I can say. It's not in my degrees on the wall. It's not in quick wit. It's not in my abilities. It's not in my strength. It's not in my family, my heritage, or finances. It's not in any of those things, but rather, it's in the one who has already overcome the world. It's in the one who's already given us the victory. It's in the one, guys, it's in the one who has made us more than conquerors. So I just want to leave you with this thought this morning, and I'm done. Don't play the victim. Don't become a victim to this world today. You don't have to succumb to it. You don't have to fall by the wayside at the menial and trivial things that we deal with in this. You don't have to. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You have the confidence this morning that is found in the power of God. Why? Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, the excellency of our ability, the excellency of overcoming, the excellency of our confidence may be of God and not of ourselves. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here today. And I pray, dear God, that you would encourage your people this morning. God in heaven, no matter what we may be going through today, no matter what we may be struggling with, no matter what we may be facing at this moment, or even yet tomorrow, I pray, I ask of you, Father, let us rest in the confidence of the power of God, the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let our confidence rest in that which is eternal and not which is temporal. And let us go forward into this world today, despite trouble on every side, despite perplexities, despite problems and circumstances and situations, despite persecution, Father. And let us have the confidence in the one who's overcame it all, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask all of these things this morning. Amen.